Hi, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 534. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will show you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want an audio tape or a CD. Both absolutely free, including postage and handling. But remember, it's program number 534. That means I've done on this one series alone over, this will be 534 messages. And I've done several thousand others, and you can request them if you like, and I'll be happy to send them to you. If you need a Bible, I'll send you one of those free of charge. We also have literature that I've written, and the Messiah book. Tonight I've got a lot of Bible reading for you to explain to you the Word of God so that you don't have to be ignorant any longer to comedians and a bunch of antichrist people and people that are agnostic. And they don't, they're just ignorant to everything that's spiritual. I used to be that way once too, and that, therefore I have a lot of mercy. That is, I preach the gospel to them and tell them the truth. Because God, there isn't anything that we can do about God's law or His judgment. We all know that the Word of God is God's law. It's His judgment. And there's nothing that you and I can do about that. That's the way it is. So we are not to, we ourselves are not to judge anything with our own judgment or make up our own laws or to say that the law of God is no longer existing, that it's over with. No, that's your own judgment and it's wrong. There's only one judgment and one law that's correct, and that's the law of God and the judgment of God. And that's the same judgment that we're going to be judged by when we reach the kingdom of heaven. And it's not a judgment or a law that's far off. We have the Bible very near to us. There's these programs like Bill Moyer. I mean, this guy is the most ignorant person before, but I used to be, I guess, as ignorant as him. I never really did have the juvenile sense of morality or the gall to start blaspheming God the way that he does. And some of the people that he shows puts on his program, I really don't like the man. You know, he's very easy not to like. I don't even like the way he looks, but of course I'm not to judge people that way, and so therefore I'm saying these things to attempt to penetrate through his dark mind in his spirit, to be able to show him he's concerned about God, all in the Old Testament, how there were so many souls that were killing people and so on, but if he would read the Bible, he'd see why God killed the whole world, because it the Bible plainly states in Genesis why the Lord did that, because the Lord didn't create us to sin. He created us to rule the world according to His law and His judgments. And if people don't want to do that, well, they can just expect to be drowned or burned by fire or be burnt up with sulfur and brimstone and fire. And people just don't like that kind of a God. But what are you going to do about it? You're going to put your dukes up and start saying, come on, God, we're going to Front Street. Let's get it on. You know, we're going to get it on, Lord. You little pipsqueak, you don't know what you're saying. You're going to go to hell and then the lake of fire if you don't repent. Okay, who are you to raise up your tongue? Many of the people on the face of this earth were born out of wedlock anyway. They shouldn't even be here according to the Word of God. Because if you're born out of wedlock, you're a bastard, really. That's what the Bible says. A bastard is somebody that's been born that doesn't know who their father is. And who are you bastards, the Lord says in His Word, to stretch forth your tongue and say to God, what doest thou? Who are you to do what you're doing? It doesn't make any difference. Even if the word of the Lord was evil, as they say it is, there wouldn't be anything that you and I could do about it anyway. Because God is God and no one can fight Him. So the only way to win with the Lord is to just surrender to his will and do it. All right? Because whether you think it's right or wrong, God is always right because he can't lose. Everything is going to be done his way or else. First of all, if you don't repent, if you don't receive the gospel, if you think that he was unjust because a bunch of people were committing homosexuality and lesbianism and they were attempting to have sex with angels, so he burns them up. If you think that's wrong, well, then you're a lawless individual. You don't like the law of God. You don't like government. You don't like the statutes and precepts of the Lord. You don't like anything about God, and so God doesn't like you either. But you can't do anything about God except repent and ask the Lord to forgive you for your wickedness. But God can do a lot to you. He can take your life and sling your soul into the pit of hell and then later into the lake of fire. So let's just want to get that straight before we do anything else. People like this that are so ignorant, they shouldn't be on the air. We have a right. They've been in democracy too long. Of the people, by the people, for the people. I used to be of the people, by the people, for the people also. But I don't believe that's the way that God wants us to be. He wants us to be for him and of him. Of him, by him, for him. We were created by him. Not Bush didn't create us, nor did the Pope or anyone else on the face of this earth. God created us. So we're of him, by him, and we better be for him or he's going to cast our souls in. He says, you're just doing it yourself. You are self-destructive. You're wanting to throw your souls into hell. If I were you, the people out there that have televisions, I wouldn't turn on to that guy because you don't know how to. Everybody just sits speechless or they start laughing when he's blaspheming God and doing things like that. You're not schooled strong enough in the Word of God to be able to answer him. And so you just sit there like an idiot yourself. Turn it off because you would be easily brainwashed by this nothing-type person. All right, but right now we're going to go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord who definitely exists and who is definitely causing this world to go spinning around about a million miles an hour. We're going to talk to him, okay, instead of Bill Moyer or any of these other Antichrist people that need to be saved, these ignoramuses that are wandering around in darkness. They don't have anything to offer people of any hope or any faith whatsoever. They're just lost, and they seem to know it. And then some of the people on this program say, well, just in case we don't come out as strong as you do, Bill, just in case God does exist. Don't say just in case. He does exist. I didn't believe it before either until I had a supernatural experience in an office in Beverly Hills. And I know that he exists because I wouldn't put up with the persecution that I've gone through over almost 44 years if I didn't really believe in, if I hadn't seen Christ right before my eyes, and I wasn't on drugs like you dopers are out there. You people are dopey, and so you just think everything is a joke, and that you can even joke about God, and you can make up different stories about him, bringing on a rabbi, a priest, and a supposed to be evangelist. There's no such jokes like that when you're standing before God. You're going to be groveling before him, of just pleading and begging, oh my God, now it's true, it's too late for me. And that's what it's going to be unless you repent and ask the Lord to enter your heart. Because he is spirit, it's a spiritual realm, it's a whole new realm. You have to be, you were born by fleshly parents, but now you have to be born again, this time by the Holy Spirit from God. And when that happens to you, then you'll know it's real. But it's not going to happen to you until you get the fear of the Lord. And when people are laughing and jiving and joking about God, that shows you don't have any fear of him whatsoever. And it shows that you're dead in your spirit. Now, your spirit is dead. It hasn't been resurrected from the dead by the Holy Spirit of God entering into your spirit. And therefore, the Bible says that the dead know nothing. And that's why I say you shouldn't be on television, because you're just a dead person who knows nothing that's trying to make people believe that you're smart. That Moyer looks like he's, trying to impress his mother. He needs to be on all the time. And when he thinks he cracks a joke, he looks back and forth to see if everyone on the panel on his show is laughing and admiring him. Well, I want him to know that there's a person out here that watches, has watched him just tonight, and I don't admire him. I think he's as stupid, more stupid than a goose. All right? He's stupid. He's ignorant. He's not spiritual. He's carnal. He said that's the last book that he'd allow his child to read because there's so much killing in the Bible. Well, if God didn't kill people for their unlawfulness, then God wouldn't be God. God doesn't like this unlawful world, and he doesn't like people in it that are unlawful after they hear the truth, the word of God, and then they still are unlawful. And a lot of them, they don't believe in the law of God or the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, but they live after another law, the law of sin and death. And it's for sure, if you live after that law, the law of sin and death, is for sure you're going to spend eternity in hell. And then the lake of fire, where you'll be chewing on your tongue and grinding your teeth and screaming out and your fool head off for eternity. It's never going to end. Well, Father God, we thank and praise your holy name for your word. I thank you, Lord, for your word and the confirmation of the things that you showed me in the office, and the confirmation from your word of the things that you showed me in the Holy Spirit, that you showed me in visions and dreams and signs and wonders. I never knew these things before, but after you showed them to me, I sought them out, and sure enough, there they were in the Bible. And then you put me together with a woman that know the Bible better than anyone that I've ever known before that time, and I still haven't met anybody in the world that knows the Bible as much as she did. Now I know, Lord, and I'm so happy and thankful to you, and I praise you, Father God. I'm not at all bitter about the things that are going on in this world. I just know that when I call upon you, that you hear me and answer me. And Lord, I ask that you put those people, those kind of shows to a stop, not just a standstill, but you put them off the air, and that you do something to him to where he's going to have to cry out to God, all people like him, so that his soul can be saved. I'm interested, Lord, because you're interested in saving his soul. I was probably as bad as he is now, before I was saved, and therefore you had mercy on me, and therefore I know that you can have mercy on him and others like him. All these people in the world that are anti-Christ, and they think that it's fun to joke about you and to make fun of you. You gave the land of Israel to the Jews, and when you make a promise to them, you give something to somebody. No one can take it away from them, because you stated that even in these last days they would try to take the land of Israel away from the people your chosen, your favorite people, and they will not be able to, because you're going to send down wrath from heaven upon them, and you're going to destroy them with fire and brimstone, everyone that's around them. And people are going to have to pick up those bones for months and months. They'll have to hire people from other nations to come in and pick up the bones and bury them, because it's an abomination for those kind of bones to be on the face of the earth without a burial. And so there'll be stickers sticking in the land where they found the bones, and the people will go and bury them. And we thank and praise you, Lord, because you've given this information to us in advance. And we see the armies of the world, which is the one world government, surrounding and aiding and abetting these Arabs and these Palestinians, and allowing them to have so much trouble. And this has meant that they should, your chosen people, the Jews, should call unto you, Lord, for victory and to become Christians. And I thank you, Lord, because our prayers, we can see them being answered. There's thousands upon thousands of Jews in Israel now that are now born again Christians. And they're preaching the gospel. And I pray, Lord, I know that you've given them wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Now, we know that understanding, worldly knowledge, has been increased in these last days. But worldly understanding is not wisdom at all. It's just garbage. Like the Apostle Paul said, it's the dung, like dirt, filth, in comparison to the wisdom of the Lord. Because the wisdom of the Lord is fear, the fear of the Lord. And we know that the fear of the Lord is the very beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is wisdom. And we praise and thank you, Lord, for the fear of the Lord. We pray, Lord, and some people say, oh, I don't want to be afraid of God. He said, if you're not afraid of him, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, fear not him that can take your life, but rather fear him who can not only take your life, but to also throw your soul into hell. And so you're going to either fear God or Satan. If you're fearing Satan, then you're going to be fearful and unbelieving. You're going to be fearful to come against Satan. You're going to be fearful to speak out against him. You're going to be fearful to expose him to the general public so that people will know that he is their enemy. And instead, people are afraid of Satan and they never speak out for God. And because they don't speak out for God, that means that they're not sons of God. I pray thee, Lord, that you'll pour out fear of you in your word, because your word is law. They should fear your word, which is you, so much that they will not break your law anymore, and they cannot but break your law unless this Holy Spirit, unless Christ, the life-giving Spirit, is living in them and for them, and that they will, you will be in us, and that you will be in them, and that you will do your work in and through them. You don't want us to do any work, but you want us to go along with the work that you want us to do. So we're actually doing work, but not us. It's you in us. You want to use our body as an instrument to do what you want to do in these last days. And that means that we cannot at all be fearful of the Antichrist government. We can't be frightened of the Antichrist cult, the spirit of Satan himself. We cannot, and blood of Jesus is against you, Satan. You have no power over any born-again Christian. You can take our life, but you can't take our soul. If you take our lives, well, this is the best day of our life, because we'll be right in heaven today anyway. So you lose no matter which way you go, Satan. And I pray that everyone gets this same confidence in the Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, that souls might be saved, and the church strengthened, the real Church of Christ, not the Vatican, the Catholic cult, but the real Church of God, the body of Christ, the New Jerusalem. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay. It would be a bigger amen if we were in the church. We're just in this little studio here. And I'm going to sing a song for you now, and the song is about the great speckled bird. Now, the speckled bird happens to be all the saved people of every race and color. And it looks speckled, but we're all of one blood. Here I am to sing for you the great speckled bird. And I think it's either the Stamps Quartet with me, backing me up, or the Jordanaires, one of the two. I'll tell you afterwards.
What a beautiful thought I am thinking, concerning the great speckled bird. Remember, her name is recorded on the pages of God. desiring to lower her standard. They watch every move that she makes. They love to find fault with her teaching. But really they find no mistake. I am glad that I learned of her meekness. I am glad that my name is on her book. For I want to be one, never fearing. On the face of our Savior to look. When he comes descending from heaven on a cloud as he rides in his book, I'll be joyfully carried up to meet him on the wings of that great speckled bird. On the wings of that great speckled bird.
All right, praise the Lord. But that was the Jordanaires and myself singing for you, the great speckled bird. All right, Sharon, have you got some letters?
Yes.
Where's the first one from?
From Chicago, Illinois.
All right.
Dear Pastor Lamo, may the Lord bless you. I hope when you receive this letter, you will be found in the best of health and under God's blessings. I hope everything is going on well with you and your ministry. Thanks for sending me your book entitled The Messiah. It is absolute proof that Jesus is the only way to the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, so many proofs that it's just, you know, incredible that people could be so ignorant. But as I said, I was at one time that ignorant, and therefore I guess I have a right to be also, praise the Lord. Okay, what else?
This book, The Messiah, is truly amazing. It proves that the Bible is the inspired word of God. Pastor Lamo, I had a hard time trying to choose a religion. I didn't know what to believe until I read your book, The Messiah. This is a cold book, man. Now I am growing spiritually in Christ. Thanks a lot for the good work you have been doing worldwide. Pastor, I'm pleading with you. Will you send my wife a copy of your book entitled The Messiah?
Oh, nobody has to plead with me to send the literature, those Messiah books to people. We really rejoice when we see or hear people wanting to receive them or send them to their loved ones or even their enemies. Okay, so then what?
And send a Holy Bible and send more newsletters and tracts to me. God bless, Randall Scott from Chicago, Illinois.
Randolph Scott.
Randall.
Randall? Okay, praise the Lord. Well, it's one of our favorite cowboys, right? Years ago. Okay, now then, you have another one.
Yes, from Zambia.
Okay, let's hear what they have to say.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, greetings to you and your family in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, not forgetting your ministries. I pray this letter has found you in good condition. May God bless you and let him add more days to your life and your family. First and foremost, I would love to introduce myself to you. I'm a young man, aged 25 years, and I am a Zambian. I come from a family of five, three girls and two boys. We're the only ones left because our mother and father died a long time ago in the year of 2000 in a road traffic accident. Here in prison, I have a friend by the name of Jilla, and we are confined together in the same block. He is the one who gave me the pamphlet you sent him, and I got saved when I read the literature, which carries the true plan of salvation. Please, man of God, I'm asking for a Holy Bible that will build my faith in God. Ever since I read your literature, I have accepted that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, so I am born again, and I will never rob or kill a person in my life again. This has been the turning point of my life. I am inside a prison, but free from sins. Yours faithfully, Pontino Mueli from Kitwe, Zambia, Africa.
Praise the Lord. You know, like if the homosexuals want to go to hell, you know, they should go to hell by themselves. But the thing I have against them is, first of all, it's against the law of God. But then, you know, the Lord allows people to do what they're going to do. But the thing I have against these homosexuals is they try to turn on little kids. This is the thing of Big Brother and Big Sister. They like to take little kids out and molest them. And, of course, a lot of the judges and people in government are as queer as a wolfingale in springtime, and they will not rule against them. As a matter of fact, if they're Catholics, they'll take them and hide them in the Vatican. You don't see many of these homosexuals prosecuted to the limit of the law. First of all, it's against the law of God. And these homosexuals make fun of that God says, thou shalt not have any other God before you because nobody else created you. Okay, dummies? And, you know, anybody that would create me out of the dirt of the ground, I would certainly be a very unthankful person to start mocking him and making fun and saying, oh, so you got a rule that we're not supposed to have any other gods before you. Like, that's supposed to be a big deal, huh, God? To God it is, and if I were God and somebody would do that, I'd take my thumbnail and just put it right through your body. Because you just ought to be thankful that God isn't that way, because he can put his thumbnail on you anytime that he pleases to and squash you like a grape, even easier than squashing a grape. And yes, God doesn't like that because it's filthy. It's degenerate, and he said that he created man and woman, and then man and woman sinned. They were naked, and then he told them to put on clothes. And people still put on clothes to this very day because the Lord wants people to wear clothing and doesn't want them to expose themselves. And it used to be, when this used to be the United States of America, because I loved it under the law of the Bible, the USA, based on the Bible, one nation under the law of God, one republic, one nation under the law or the guidance or the direction or the judgment of God. But I don't like it because it's now back to the old ages. They say it's the new world government. It's back to the old Roman canon law, where the people of Europe that wanted to serve the Lord or to worship their own way, they fled there and came to the United States of America. And now these rotten, filthy reptiles, these rats have come over to America, and they're doing the same thing as they did. Where can you flee to today? Back to Europe? No, it's just as bad over there. It's just as bad. You go to Israel, these people are compassed around Israel, and even the President of the United States thinks that he has the right to go over there and talk the Jewish people into letting the Palestinians move their arms over into Israel so they can kill them faster and better. Anybody that was Jewish that would allow those people to do that is out of their mind. But people, the Bible said that the nations would be mad, the leaders of nations would be insane in the last days. And so I don't call it bold coming up against this bunch of creeps, because the Lord said that we better be bold against him rather than bold against God. Now, I win. Whether they kill me or not, I'm going to win because I'll be right in heaven. And I've seen the Lord Jesus Christ with my eyes wide open. And believe me, I'm not a doper. I used to be the executive vice president of the largest chain of health spas in the world. And I was always into strength, health, and energy. I was on health foods. All I ate was healthy foods. I didn't eat French fries and hamburgers and all this garbage that people eat today. They even found dung in the beef. God told me to stay away from all dairy and beef. And because it's contaminated. And the orange juice they're selling you and all these different juices they're selling you in these bottles are totally contaminated. They're homogenized. That means that they've been boiling. They boiled all the goodness out of them because they boil them at 190 degrees. And they're of no value to you at all. Just buy fresh fruit and vegetables and eat them. But at any rate, I'm not on drugs. I'm the last person on this earth that would be on drugs. The president is on drugs. All these people that are laughing and joking at God is on drugs. And if they think I'm wrong, come on and tell me. Let's debate about it. We know that alcohol, when you drink that, you're drugged up. And he doesn't make any bones about the fact that he is on booze. And his wife has threatened to leave him if he doesn't drop booze, stay away from it. And according to her, in an article, she says that he's committing adultery on her with this black woman that's out there. And what's her name?
Condoleezza Rice.
Yeah, Condoleezza Rice. Oh, God. What a pitiful thing. This can't be the United States of America anymore. They're just going over. Maniac is sticking his nose into God's chosen people's business. And you're going to get, you're not going to fare very well. They were showing pictures of people when they became president and after they'd been president for a few years. And they really looked blanked out. I mean, they're just totally drawn. And that's because they were all running the country according to the way that the Lord says not to, but the way that the Vatican says to do it. And the Lord is just taking their lives. Just as he's taken the lives of hundreds of millions of people in this world for coming against his word and not paying any attention to what he says. Even the food laws, they just think that, you could spend years telling people things they're doing wrong, but they don't want to know. They think there's no point in being a Christian because that this is all going to blow up, that the people that are terrorists are going to take over. But I pray always that the Lord will tear the terrorists down, to terrorize the terrorists. And he has done that in Israel, where they were fighting, the Jews were fighting these people, and there was only a few of them left. They ran out of ammunition, and the enemy started running away from them. And they were yelling out, "Abraham, Abraham!" And finally, a few years later, one of them was there at the fight, an Arab and a Jew. They were talking together, and they says, "Why did you guys flee that fast?" "Because we were out of ammo." He said, "We saw this huge giant that he went clear up to the sky, and he was Abraham, and he was coming at us with fire coming out of his eyes." And so, there's a lot of people that know, see miracles, and they tell of them, but the people that are liars, those that don't believe in Jesus, those that don't believe in the Word of God, the Word of God is Jesus. The Bible says so in many places, especially in the first chapter of John, the Gospel of John. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then on verse 14 it says, "And then God became, the Word became flesh." Amen?
Amen.
And that was Jesus. All right? Now then. Okay, now when we're in the verse 12 of chapter 4 of Galatians, states, "Brethren, I beseech you." In other words, I'm begging you. "Be as I am." This is the Apostle Paul talking. "For I am as ye are." In other words, he's talking to the born-again Christians. But he's human, and yet he is keeping the commandments of the Lord, and they're wanting to go back to having to stop living by faith and to start living by the law of Moses again. Now, 99% of the law of Moses, now the moral law is the law of God. That never goes away, but the law of Moses that God gave Moses was burnt sacrifices. And the law of God has its, which is the moral law, has its statutes and precepts and so on. You're not to look upon any of your relatives' nakedness except your wife. That's it. And if you're a mother, you can change your little children's diapers. I've never seen one of my children naked before in my whole life. And I've had 10 children down through the years. Some of my children are almost 50 years old. Okay, so be as I am, for I am as you are. You have not injured me at all. I mean, if you are starting to live by trying to receive something from God by the law, rather than by faith, you haven't hurt me. You haven't injured me at all. Because I want you to be like me. For I'm a human being as you are, but I cannot receive anything from God other than by faith. You know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. Okay, infirmity of flesh, that means that when Paul, actually his name then was Saul, people really get on your case if you change your name. My real name is Bernie Lazarov, and I was born that way. But the Lord put it in my heart to change when I was in the entertainment industry my name to Tony Alamo. And so I changed my name. Oh, my God, he changed his name. And so I had a different name for each kind of music I did. I was Bucky Raymond as a country singer, or Clyde Kipp. That's who it was, K-I-P-P, Clyde Kipp. And I had under Tony Alamo, I would sing good songs. I always sang the better songs under that name and so on. And they brought this up, these reprobates in the courtroom saying, he's changed his name. Well, God changed the apostle, he changed Saul's name to the apostle Paul. Amen?
Amen.
So I guess, that's really supposed to be wrong. They'd really get on him for that in these courtrooms today. First of all, these judges are not American judges. They have given up patriotism, and now they've gone according to what they call the New World Order, but it's back to the old days of Rome running everything into the ground. Now, verse 14. Well, we'll go, you know how through infirmity of the flesh, I preached the gospel unto you at the first. In other words, I'm legally blind, Paul was, just like I am. Because he did a lot of harm to Christians. And so God says, you could see then, and when you could see you were doing harm to the people of my people. But now, so I'm going to keep you blind, legally blind, so that you won't be able to see with your eyes, but you'll be able to meditate really good. I know so many people that can see, but they're more interested in movies and earthly things than they are the gospel. Oh, they're just looking at everything. They're so distracted, and they think they're smart because they know the things that I knew before I was a born-again Christian, and now consider them to be nothing but dung, as the Apostle Paul thought when after he was saved. He thought everything. But these people, he says at the beginning, you knew I had this infirmity that I couldn't see good. And verse 14, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised. Ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So he was tempted to pray to God, and he prayed three times that he could see. Amen?
Amen.
But the Lord said, my grace, my power is sufficient for you. All right? And so he rather rejoices now in infirmities. Then verse 15, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? Now all of a sudden you're not listening to me. Now you want to go back to the quicksand. You want to go back and think that you're going to merit something of the Lord other than by faith. We walk in the Spirit and keep his judgments, his law, by faith. But the law walking in the law of ourselves, or in other words, the law of sin and death. We have kept the law, but it's the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus, because there's no condemnation in that law. But the Lord calls it the law of sin and death when you go back to thinking that you are the law and that you can just make up what you think the law is. In other words, you think that it's all right, even though the Bible says no, to go to movies and to go and to libraries and study instead of just studying the Bible and keeping your eyes on the Lord. Now, there's a lot of people that would take issue with what I'm saying, but I'm telling you what the Word of God says, all right? Amen. If you take issue with that, fine. Go to hell. See if I care. All right? But all I'm required to do is preach the gospel to you. If you don't believe it, that's up to you. Well, where does it say that? It says you're to give all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your spirit to the Lord, all your strength. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's where it says it. That's just one place. Verse 15, where is then the blessedness ye spake of? Yeah, I forgot listening to you, Paul. We're going to do some great and mighty works more than you. Because all you're doing, Paul, is walking by faith. And we're going to do something with our own strength, you stinking phonies. For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye, at that one time, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me so that I could see. Verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy? Because I'm telling you, you can't make up your own law and walk by the law of your own flesh, but that you have to walk by the faith of the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You have to walk by faith, because it was by faith that you got saved, and now you're trying to become somebody in Christ or to show people how worldly you are, which is exactly the opposite of what the Lord wants you to show people. He wants you to show them that you are spiritual, because you're now in the spiritual realm. You're supposed to be your old dead self, your old worldly self, your old self that did nothing for God or ever could, or still you can't. And all that is supposed to be nailed to the cross of Christ. So am I therefore become your enemies? Because I'm telling you the truth. Because I tell you the truth. Because I'm telling you the truth, whatever. Verse 17. They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that ye might affect them. They want to get rid of you, so they could exclude you. they would exclude you, that ye might affect them. So that, in other words, if you believe what they say, well, then they become the great leaders of you. Verse 18, but it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. Well, there's only one good thing, and that's Jesus, that's God. Amen?
Amen.
And not only when I am present with you. Why is it that, you know, if I'm not there, all of a sudden you start living by your own law, by your own judgment? Your judgment is supposed to be nailed to the cross. All your judgments, you're not to judge at all, but unless you're judging by the Word of God. My little children, this is verse 19, of whom I travail in birth again. I'm going to try to get you to start living by faith in the law of God, by the law of the Spirit of faith in Christ Jesus, until Christ be formed in you. What he's saying is again. Verse 20, I desire to be present with you now, and to change my voice. I'd rather talk to you nicely, for I stand in doubt of you. I doubt you people are going to make it to heaven. Verse 21, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law of yourself. This is the law of yourself, or the law of Satan. Do you not hear the law? Don't you hear what the law is saying? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, an Arab, a Palestinian. The bondwoman, she wasn't a woman of faith. She was a bondwoman, but now the government's trying to make it look as though it's really sinful to have faith in God, that God really gave that land to Israel, to Jacob. So he says that these two sons, one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. What does that mean, free? Well, when the Lord has set you free indeed to not be bound to the law of man. Now, it's the Palestinians' judgment that that land belongs to them because the Jews, God cast them out, but he brought them back now. And he wants them to have the land. And if you want to live peaceably among them, they would allow you, but not when you're so crazy that you're blowing up your own children and wiring them with hand grenades and dynamite to blow people up and to tell them the dirty lie that there's several blondes, naked women laying on a rug up there in heaven for you. You're going straight to hell. Okay, verse 23. But he who was of the bond woman was born after the flesh. And it's no good to be born after the flesh, because the flesh, they follow the law of the flesh, which is sin and death. But he of the free woman was by promise. Okay, so God promised this Jewish woman that she would raise a person out of her dead womb, a son, and out of Abraham's loins. Well, before that, first child, the bondwoman's child, was not of faith. That was she just said, go into my bondwoman there and see if that'll be the child of promise. But of course it wasn't, because he said that Abraham, the Jew, will have a child. And this child will be the child of promise, by the child of faith. Because you have to believe that Sarah will have a child, and that child is the child of promise. The one that he said that the seed of Abraham, which is Christ, would bring forth a blessing to every nation. Now, Arabs can be saved, and so can Palestinians that are Arabic nations, but they have to accept God's law. They can't say we're the promised children, that the land is ours. And if they don't do that, they're just hurting themselves. They're not going to make God's promise to be of none effect. It is very effective. Verse 24, which things are an allegory? In other words, it's a figure type of, for these are the two covenants. The one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. I have to take this up again tomorrow. You don't want to miss it, because these are the most misunderstood scriptures in the entire Bible. That's why you see people just being diverted. They go to the websites. They're always on the websites just checking things out, because they think they're going to be smarter by learning things that are not honored by God. These are people that are very silly and stupid people. Okay. All right, now, if you want to be of a child of faith, you have to receive the Son of the living God by faith. And it happens when you pray to God and ask not Ishmael to come into your heart or some Palestinian, but you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Not the devil, but the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. And the way you do that is to say this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead, not Muhammad, but Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. And your word is truth. You say all that call upon your name shall be saved. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I am saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord and keep reading the word of God, the King James Version. Now, Sharon, tell them how they can receive a copy of program number 534.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another powerful, truthful, faith-building, powerful building to build your spirit powerfully, a message from the Lord. We have to keep going onward until we grow to the fullness of the stature of Christ, and then we have to continue to the end. Therefore, here I am to sing for you, Onward, Christian Soldiers.
National attention has been focused on banner headlines proclaiming Christians are being kidnapped, tortured, committed to mental institutions, accused of brainwashing and mind control. Arise, Christian America. The King is coming. Hold fast. The day of the Lord is here.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. Where
the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go.